The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Monday edition of the show. I'm your host for the next three-ish hours, Mandy Connell, joined, of course, by our crazy crew of madmen, starting with Dave, the intrepid producer, Lauer.
Boy, that was a long weekend.
It was wonderful.
Wasn't it great?
I loved it. It was fantastic. I recharged my batteries, so my grandsons were in town, Dave. And Antonius is here as well. I should finish the introductions before I launch into my... So I'm 52 years old, right? So my grandson, one of my grandsons turns 5 today, and the other one is 3. Dave, by the time they left on Saturday morning, I thought I was going to die of exhaustion. They are nonstop. They do not stop moving. They are a perpetual motion machine, these two. And they're really good. I can honestly say that. I know everybody says that about their own grandkids, but they're really good. They listen when you tell them not to do something. They're not obnoxious. But boy, there's a lot of activity there. I mean, a lot of activity there. And I looked at my Fitbit before I started from Saturday, before I started the show. Normally, I walk during the day about 12,000 steps. I average about 11,000, but it's, you know, anywhere between 10,000 and 12,000 something. On Saturday, according to my Fitbit, I moved 1,292 steps all day on Saturday because I sat down in my chair and was like, oh my God, I'm exhausted. Maybe I had the new, the COVID variant. Maybe I had, what is it called? Is it Omicron? What are we doing now? What's the new
Omicron
one?
Or Omicron or something like that.
Omicron, whatever, it's fine. It's going to be gone in 5 minutes anyway, so the media can scare us with the next terrifying variant of COVID. You guys, I saw the market. When I'm on vacation, and if you listen to Grant's podcast this week, guess who Grant interviews this week, Dave? Coming up on Wednesday. Guess who?
I don't know.
That would be me, Dave. He interviews me on Taking It for Granted. And if you've ever wanted to hear me drop an F-bomb, now's your chance. But it was a very purposeful F-bomb that had to, you know, it needed to be said when it needed to be said. So there's your chance. You want to hear me curse, you can hear it Wednesday when it goes live at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's, by the way, not through the whole podcast. It was very specific F-word usage at that moment. So, but no, I have no idea why I went off on that tangent about the F-word. So, oh no, I was talking, I interviewed with Grant. I did my interview with Grant, but I completely do not pay attention to the media at all when I'm off. I watched the Thanksgiving Day parade. That was awesome. But the rest of the time in the house, we were just listening to music or we were watching cartoons. By the way, if you have Disney Plus and you love the movie Up like I love the movie Up, Doug the dog now has his own series. And it's outstanding. It's only 4 episodes. You got to love that dog, Doug. He's very, very funny. Anyway,
Isn't there supposed to be a new Beatles documentary that came out this weekend?
There is, and it did, and I have not watched it yet, but I want to watch it this week.
I haven't either.
Because I have two friends who are rabid Beatles fans, which is funny to me because they weren't even really alive when the Beatles were a thing, but they are rabid Beatles fans, and they both loved it. Like, they loved it. So if you're a Beatles fan, this is for you.
We should review it this Friday.
Yes, we should. Let me do that because I can't watch Fetch because that's on Apple. And I know that Chuck wants to watch the Beatles thing as well. So we'll do that for Friday. We have a ton of stuff on the blog. Let me get to that. But then I have two really good interviews today that I'm really excited about. So here's where you find the blog. You go to KOAColorado.com, click on anything that says Mandy Connell or full schedule, then look for the headline that says Mandy's Monday Blog, a fantastic gift idea for the family, and it cut off the rest of it. So I'll go back and fix that. Click on that, and here are the headlines you will find within.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America, all the ships and clippers at sea. Let's go to press flash.
Today on the blog, tired of giving stuff for Christmas? The Other Side Academy is a role model for other states. Yes, you can cut down your own Christmas tree, and here's how. I saw the Beverly Bells yesterday in Parker, and now I'm all Christmased up. It's Cyber Monday, and here's some great tech deals. Do Democrats suck at messaging or governing? How did Jeffco Health Director Don Comstock get her job? Why does Colorado not grasp the concept of the First Amendment? Anthony Fauci is a maniacal egomaniac. This is a fascinating article on the left's failures in COVID written by a staunch lefty. The Swiss just voted on COVID passports. Hit the road, Jack! That Omicron variant leads to extremely mild symptoms, according to the doc who discovered it. Vaccine mandates will make liars out of some when you sleep through your alarm. And now a glimpse into the future. Europe looks to nuclear to power the future. Disney censors a Simpsons episode about Chinese censorship. Happy Hanukkah, my Jewish friends. Those are the headlines on the blog at KOAColorado.com on the Mandy Connell page. And I got to tell you guys, there's some really good stories on the blog that we're not going to get to today, but interesting things that I read. Plus, Dave, this video about when you sleep through your alarm made me very tired. Because there's a lot of running around there. This is what young people do when you sleep through your alarm. When you're 52 and you sleep through your alarm, it goes like this. Oh, crap. Do, 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 do. Yeah, I'm going to be late. That's how it sounds when you sleep through your alarm when you're old.
This guy is an amazing athlete.
He really is. I mean, he really, really
is. I mean, he
is.
Literally jumps into his shoes, does crazy stuff.
Yeah. Most of us would kill ourselves doing this video, but yeah, it's on there as well.
Just stay in bed and sleep, you know, forget about it. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. And then, of course, it's that time again. When it's time to break up the only Hanukkah song.
You might know the words too, so if you want to sing along.
A Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler, because our Jewish friends are celebrating the Festival of Lights. I should have actually like ramped it up ahead of the ahead of this part, because this part goes on for a few minutes. You know the song; it's on the blog, and you can go listen to it. It's the Hanukkah song.
It's a really good song too.
It is a great song, and it's just, you know, because Hanukkah didn't have a lot of good songs other than Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel.
Exactly.
Which is catchy if you're a kid, but it's not gonna.
It's a wimpy song. Yeah.
It is. It is a little bit. Actually, it is a lot. So Adam Sandler solved that problem. This past weekend, you guys, I went and saw something, and I constantly forget to remind people that the Beverly Bells do a Christmas show every year. And the place I've seen it is the Pace Center in Parker. They are so good. Have you ever seen the Beverly Bells? We've talked to them on the show.
This is the first time I've actually seen them.
Aren't they adorable?
They're terrific.
Yeah, here is a little snippet, like the Andrews sisters, you know? From one of their appearances on television.
Just in the holiday spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, Debbie, we have a little message for you from the North Pole.
Oh,
hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming.
So before this show, which, by the way, is not just about the music, they have a fun kind of 1940s show that's held together by a comedian who's very, very funny and also married to the cute blonde on the right. And it's so entertaining. And every year we go, and every year it kind of kicks off the holiday season. And I have not put up any of my Christmas decorations. And Dave, you know that that's unusual for me. But with all the family here, there was a lot going on, blah, blah, blah. Haven't done it yet. And I was kind of dreading it because it's a lot of work to put everything up. But after I went and saw this, I was like, I am in the Christmas mood. Which led me to think, what puts you in the Christmas mood?
When you're putting up your tree, do you have Christmas music in the background to inspire
you? Of course. Duh.
Figured.
That happens the whole time. And you know what's funny is, so I take the cue, goes to this 1940s show with us every year. And by the way, we went to the matinee. We brought the average age down to 70 while I was there. And that was counting cue at the age of 12. But it is so enjoyable. And it's so
nice. Does
she
like it?
Loves it. Absolutely loves it. I mean, it's such a great way to sort of introduce a style of music to your kids that they may not have access to otherwise, and they do a beautiful job. And I know it's already happened. They only do one day. I've got to remember. I put in my calendar for next year. Remind the audience of the Beverly Bells. It's in there. So when I see the tickets, after I buy my tickets, I'll tell you guys about it, because it sells out every year too. So I'm not going to lie. I'm you know, I just do it for me.
So they don't do any other shows during the year?
They do. They do like a military themed show, and they perform at events and stuff like that. You can have them come to your Christmas party, for criminy's sake, and perform. But this was their big show that they put on themselves every year with the live band, you know, and it's just really, really entertaining. Really well done, and just, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But are there other Christmas shows like that? That's what I want, because that put me in the holiday spirit big time. Big time. So I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, today on the show, got a couple interviews. Nabil Suarez is on it too. I mentioned the Black Tree Resort and glamping, but I'm trying to find things that can be an adventure, because with supply chain issues, it might be hard to get a big ticket item that you're looking for. So why not do an adventure with your family instead? And I got to tell you, I love this place. So we're going to talk to Nabil at 2 about that. And then at 1 o'clock, I have to thank a listener for putting The Other Side Academy on my radar. The Other Side Academy is a place in Utah, and it operates on many of the same principles as our friends at Step Denver. And this, instead of just being for homeless drug and alcohol addicts, The Other Side Academy is a 2-year residential program that is designed to help former criminals, ex-cons, and sometimes people who have just pled guilty to a crime who are trying to avoid going to prison. They can choose to go through this program. And the entire purpose of the Other Side Academy is to help people learn how to live a life without drugs, alcohol, or crime. And I was reading a little bit about it, and one of the stories that I saw was from a guy who said, look, you know, my mom was a drug addict. She gave me methamphetamine when I was 10. So we can't use the word rehabilitation. What we need is to understand some people need to be habilitated. They don't know how to live. They had no role models. Their parents were drug addicts and criminals themselves. They've never lived a life without drugs and alcohol and crime. And this program is literally a 2-year program that teaches them how to be responsible citizens. And it operates on the same platform as Step Denver in that it is all about requiring responsibility, requiring accountability, requiring work, they have a lot of requirements in this program, but the numbers are significant in terms of their success. And I think that they have an indictment on their website of the rehab what do they call it? The rehab. I can't remember what exactly they call it, but they go after it. They're like, rehab without responsibility and accountability is garbage. It's garbage. You have to hold people accountable for their actions. You must. So yes, Dave.
Yeah. The one big difference between this and Step Denver, this has women in the program.
And they specifically focus on people who are felons. That's another aspect of it, because if you grew up in a horrible environment where everybody in your family and in your neighborhood was a criminal engaged in a life of crime, who are you supposed to learn good habits from, right? How are you supposed to learn how to be a good citizen? So they take all comers, and I just think it is a program that should be replicated.
And as you would imagine, they have a close relationship with the people at Step 13.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do they?
And oh, yeah. So we can talk about that as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to talk to Lola Sayi Strong. She's the managing director, about how this program works. So on the blog, I got how you can cut down your own Christmas tree. You ever done that, Dave?
I've thought about it, but I've never done it.
I've always wanted to do it, but at this stage in my life, everyone in my house is allergic to a live Christmas tree. So that's not really an option. I thought about going and putting one on the back deck.
The other thing is, you know, once upon a time, the artificial trees were pathetic.
Yeah.
They were terrible. Now they are pretty darn good.
They're beautiful.
And they last forever, and you just dust them off.
It's a one-and-done thing, right?
Oh, exactly. Yes, it's a one-and-done thing.
You know, you just get it. Now, don't they even come with ornaments now and
no,
lights?
No. Mine is pre-lit. Yeah, mine is pre-lit. I take mine out of the bag. I drop it into the stand. I put the next piece on and the piece on top of that. I plug it in, bada bing, bada boom. It's lit and ready to go. It's magical.
We've got to ask Susan Witkin about moonlighting on South Park.
Susan,
was it there?
Don't know if you know this, but apparently a character in the new South Park movie, they used your image.
No.
And I think you should get paid. Dave sent it to me over the weekend and I could not stop laughing.
Oh my gosh, you've got to send it to me.
Oh yeah.
It is you. It's not you, like you, it's yeah. you.
You play Cartman's grown-up wife. I just want to let you know.
Yes. Hey, I'm
Cartman,
there.
Cartman in a grown-up life becomes a rabbi and he marries you and has three kids.
Oh, my kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And only three? No, I'm just kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah, Susan, but it does very much look like you.
That's too funny.
Yeah, I Cartman's wife.
The curly hair, the glasses.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Deadbringer.
I'm loving this. Happy post-Thanksgiving, everybody.
Back at ya.
Woohoo!
Welcome back.
Lots of fun, lots of good food, good times. I hope everybody was safe.
Oh, yes.
Healthy.
We're all here. Still got all of our appendages. Nobody burned their house down frying turkeys.
I was just going to say, fingers and toes all accounted for. I'm good. And if you were feeling crowded this Thanksgiving holiday, you're not the only one. Man, the roads, the airports, big holiday traffic travel, and it's still coming your way. Full story coming up at 12:30 right here on KOA, Colorado's News Talk and Sports Station.
All right. We are, by the way, I just posted that photo from the South Park movie on my Facebook page. If you'd like to see Susan Witkin in her new starring role, we'll be talking to her about that momentarily. So I've got a couple political articles on the blog today. One of them is from the Washington Post, and I try not to link to stuff behind a paywall, but this story, you guys, Dave, do you know why the Democrats are wildly unpopular right now, especially Joe Biden, the president? Because they suck at messaging. They suck at messaging. That, according to Democrats, Kristen Gillibrand said at a fundraiser last month, Democrats are terrible at messaging. It's just a fact. Now, I have found this to be true when Republicans say the exact same thing. And I found it to be true that Democrats who say the exact same thing are the people most out of touch with what is important to the people in the world, in the United States of America. Those of us in flyover country, what do we actually care about? And Republicans have a tendency to think, you know what, we're going to cut the corporate tax rate and everyone's going to be extremely excited because corporate taxes are too high. Instead of going, America doesn't care about the corporate tax rate, right? The people who can't fill up their car right now don't care about Joe Biden's grandiose plans to make sure that Native American children have access to mental health services. I'm not saying that that's not a valid purpose, but I'm saying most people don't care about it. And this giant spending bill they just passed is so full of disparate items that it's impossible to package one measure, one message about it. But you know what people do care about right now? Inflation. People care about the fact that gas prices are the highest they've been in a very long time. And by the way, nothing on the horizon from the Biden administration is going to bring those down. As a matter of fact, people in the Biden administration are walking around to news media outlets saying things like this. You know, as we transfer out of the oil and gas economy, there's going to be some growing pains, which says to me, we don't want you in your cars and it's going to hurt you until you finally acquiesce. That's what that message is, by the way. That's what the message is. So people are angry. The cost of everything is outrageous. They all went to shop for their Thanksgiving turkey. Do you know 2 years ago, Dave, do you know how much I paid for a turkey 2 years ago? I paid 39 cents a pound because I bought it late. I had to thaw it in a cooler full of ice water because it was frozen, but I paid 39 cents a pound. This year, I paid $1.69 a pound for my turkey. I paid almost that for my ham. I mean, everything costs more expensive. That's what matters to the American people. So if the Democrats really believe it's just about messaging, I support them in this. I mean,
I'm thrilled that they think that's the problem.
Yeah, there you go. It's not
keep
their
improving
policies.
Your messaging. That's the problem.
Yeah, keep telling us about the wildly unpopular programs that you're putting forward. Keep doing that, please. So that's on the blog today, and it's worth your read if you have a Washington Post subscription. I did grab a snippet of it, put it on the blog today so you could see it. We've got another case in Colorado where it comes to the First Amendment being attacked by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. This one is about a woman who builds websites, and occasionally she builds websites for straight people who are getting married, right? A gay couple came to her and said, "We want you to design our website for our gay wedding." And she said, "Nope, can't do it. I'm a Christian who believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, and I cannot do your website." They sued, and she is now appealing it. It should go to the Supreme Court, because unlike the ruling around the Jack Phillips case, there should be no ambiguity about this ruling. The Jack Phillips ruling was very narrow and needs to be expanded. And I keep telling my gay friends, when you are going to posit your ability to have someone against their will be forced to create a message that they disagree with on a deeply religious basis, they're protected by the Constitution. You are not. And that's the reality of it. So we are looking at this case. We don't know. We'll see. Especially because anyone, you guys, there are so many websites where you can create your wedding website. It's the easiest thing in the world. So there's no need to have this woman, to force this woman to create a message she disagrees with. And that's what it comes down to. But it's a good column about that. So our Lord and Savior, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Dave, was on Meet the Press yesterday. And he actually said this sentence: "It's easy to criticize, but they're really criticizing science, because I represent science. That's dangerous. To me, that's more dangerous than the slings and the arrows that get thrown at me. I'm not going to be around here forever, but science is going to be around here forever. I represent
Shut
science.
Shut up, Dr. Fauci.
This guy is a megalomaniac. He is mad with power. And if you think he's going to let you pry it out of his gnarly little ancient hands, you have lost your damn mind. He is going to do everything in his power to keep that power as long as he can." Yes, Antonius. Oh, let me grab Josh. Josh wants to weigh in on my turkey deal. Hey, Josh, you are on KOA. Hello.
Yeah. Mandy, apparently you don't shop for bargains and you have it like that. But, you know, Queen Supers had turkeys for 25 cents a pound as long as you were a King Supers, quote unquote, member, or spent at least $50 in a store.
When was this?
Pay a dollar. What's that?
When was this?
This was going all the way up until Thanksgiving.
Yeah, here's my problem. So, I went to three different King Supers in my area. None of them had a turkey less than 25 pounds. Not one.
Well, that's probably because everybody was smart and got them while they were 25 cents a pound.
So, well, I missed that. So thanks for letting me know now, Josh. Thanks a lot.
Well, as the old saying goes, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
And the reason why everything is so expensive, no offense, because everybody wants to make $17, $20 an hour and stuff like that. It's called checks and balances. When you make $17 an hour, guess what? Now you can afford to pay $5 a gallon for gas. Now
you can afford to pay $4
a gallon for milk.
Josh. Josh, labor pressures being what they are, inflation is a creation of the government. And here's a stat that will blow your mind. Okay, this will blow your mind. One third of the dollars currently in circulation have been printed in the last 18 months. That's why inflation is happening right now, because the government has flooded the market with dollars and people think they have less value than they did before. And they're not wrong, because when you create more of something, it has less value. That is supply and demand. And that is why prices are going up. There's some confounding issues like supply chain and labor costs, but ultimately prices are going up because the government is devaluing our currency. Full stop.
Economics. My guess is no, you probably have a degree in broadcast journalism. I have a minor in economics.
Oh, gosh,
yes.
And
everything you just said is absolutely wrong.
So what causes inflation?
Inflation is caused when, once again, people are making $17 an hour, $18 an hour, that used to work $12 an hour, if that, at McDonald's. Now they can afford to pay $5 a gallon for gas, or $3.80 for a gallon of milk. It's simple economics. It's
why does the milk cost that much in the first place? Why do they need more money? Wait. Why do they need more money in higher salaries if prices are already not going up? Why are those two things happening?
It's called trickle-down economics, or what you Republicans used to call it, Reaganomics. So because this costs much or that costs much, it's the trickle-down effect. It's Reaganomics 101. Mm-hmm. I mean, they teach it when you're a freshman in college.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of people are now, granted, I'm 43 years old, so, and when Reagan was president, and God, I can't remember when he was president, neither can Reagan.
God, that economy under Reagan was horrible with that supply-side economics. God, it was like the Great Depression. We practically had the Dust Bowl in the 80s because of those Reaganomics. They were so unsuccessful that, gosh, it was almost like we didn't have a boom there for like 10, 12 years.
Well, guess what? Now we actually have the Dust Bowl again because, I mean, I don't know, Mike Nelson probably forgot to do his rain dance up in the studio or something like that here in Colorado. And then once again, we have Reagan trickle down economics because everybody, I mean, no offense, and I do understand social issues and stuff like that, but everybody wants a handout. Until somebody stands up either in Colorado or on the federal level and says, you know what, enough of these tent cities, guess what? Either we need to find
Josh, let me take it back to the inflation question because you're going off track here and stuff that I don't disagree with you on. So I want to argue with you about the stuff I do disagree with you on. So here's the thing.
Okay.
How did Reagan curtail inflation that was out of control in the 1970s? What mechanism did he use to bring inflation under control? Do you know?
I can't honestly answer that.
He contracted the money supply. You should have learned that in your economics minor. He contracted the money supply by raising interest rates, stopping the printing presses, and actually reduced the number of dollars that were circulating in the economy. That's how you bring inflation under control. So it would stand to reason that inflation is because of an overabundance in dollars.
Okay, but once again, it's checks and balances. So right now we have a surplus of jobs where in under Reagan's administration, I think unemployment was up, 9.5%, almost 10%.
Because he had, wait. Okay, since you didn't learn this in your economics minor, let me just break it down for you. It went like this. Reagan takes office. Energy prices are out of control. Inflation is out of control. Interest rates are out of control. The first thing he does is tick interest rates up, which contracts the economy, which means that people lose their jobs. In the first 18 months of Reagan's presidency, you are absolutely right. We were tossed into a recession, but guess what happened? It was a sharp V recession because the economy contracted, the dollar stabilized, and we were able to have the booming economy for the next 6.5 years of the Reagan administration and well into George H.W. Bush's administration. So your entire premise, Josh, is not accurate. And I'm trying to help you because when you say, I have a minor in economics, and then you say the things you said, it makes me think that you got your degree from night school. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, actually, I went to University of Notre Dame, one of the most prestigious colleges in the United States.
But they failed you in your economics minor. I'm just letting you know that. They failed you in that department, my friend. They really, really did.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, every economist always has an opinion. I mean, for example, I mean, look at Warren
Josh,
Buffett.
Do me a favor. Wait, Josh, go back, and I need you to do a little historical work here. I'm going to say, I want you to Google,
absolutely,
how did Reagan stop inflation in the 1980s? Read all of that you can find, then call me back, and we'll redo this conversation when you have a little bit better sense of what actually happened during that time period. Could you do that?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. I've given you your homework,
absolutely.
Josh. Go about it.
But Mandy,
go ahead.
Start clipping some coupons, okay? I hate to see you paying $1.40 a pound for a turkey.
Well, you are right about that. And when you see it for 39 cents a pound next year, I expect a phone call. Toot sweet.
Absolutely. You know what?
Okay.
We'll put you on speed dial. You and Susie Worthen both.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate it. I look forward to your call about inflation. As a matter of fact, next time we have Larry on, we should talk specifically about how we've dealt with large inflation in the past, because it's not something that is new. It's, you guys, inflation has been around since the Roman Empire, right? Since the Roman Empire started mixing cheap metals with their gold in order to create more gold pieces. That's, and you know what? That's a visual that is really helpful, Because when you think about it, is you have a gold piece that is 100% gold. And in the Roman Empire, they had 100% gold pieces. And that gold piece had a value assigned by how much it weighed. This is an ounce of gold. Therefore, it has this value, right? So the Roman Empire wanted to continue expanding their empire, and they didn't have enough money in the coffers. So they started taking the gold coins and mixing them with copper and other metals that were not gold. And every time they did that, they devalued their currency, therefore making it so you had to have 5 ounces of these coins to equal the same as a solid gold piece of coin. They inflated the currency by making more of it using metal that wasn't gold. And by the time it was all said and done, you have money that has no value whatsoever because it's all made of crappy metals. That for me is a visual that helped me a long time ago understand what inflation is and the role of government in inflation. And Josh, when you let the government off the hook, then you're going to continue electing people who are going to continue doing the same thing. And that's why this is really important for me to help everyone understand, because we cannot allow the notion that somehow it's just greedy employees or greedy businesses or greedy corporations that create inflation. The primary driver is the devaluing of the currency by the federal government. And again, 1/3 of the dollars in circulation have been printed in the last 18 months. That's how you create inflation. That's it. All the other factors can factor into it, but that's the primary driver. And again, that's really important that people remember that. Okay. Lots of stuff on the blog that we're not going to get to yet. When we get back, I'm very, very excited to talk about an organization in Utah that has an incredible program that I hope maybe someone will be inspired to start here. I think it's a model program for around the country. It helps ex-cons. It helps drug addicts. It helps alcoholics learn how to be responsible adults. And when you hear some of the stories, you're going to be like, what? Anyway, Susan Witkin, yes. Did you see the photo of you as Cartman's wife?
Dave, thank you very much for sending me the email. I clicked on it. I looked at the the cartoon-like thing. I didn't get to watch it, but yeah. That's me. What is that, a meme? Is that what?
No, that is a scene from the movie, and it's just a still. And then Dave sent me a scene, and okay, the best part is your name in the movie is Yentl. Okay,
Yentl. It wasn't that Barbara Streisand.
Yes, exactly.
Really?
The point. Yeah. So I cannot. I'm not going to publish the snippet because there's a lot of F word in there, and I try not to put that on the blog and stuff.
That would not be okay.
It's you.
And I don't drop the F-bomb too often.
No. Yentl doesn't say the F-word. People say the F-word.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
Everyone is agreeing on my Facebook page that it is you. Somebody wanted to know if you crash bar mitzvahs for cake. So.
Oh, that's a good one. I should, because they wouldn't notice me. I fit right in. Oh, my gosh. You gave me a great idea. Okay. Hey.
Oh,
you'd
boy.
Be welcomed as Cartman's wife.
I got to get out, or Antonius is going to go, stop talking. Yeah, I'm going to get your newscast in. Like, hey, you know what? If you think we've been dry around here for a long time, you're right, and I'll tell you how long. 1 o'clock, KOA, Colorado's News Talk and Sports Station.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, I'm thrilled to have in our second hour of the show our ongoing conversation about homelessness and addiction and people living on the streets because they don't have any other good options. We've talked endlessly about Step Denver, and I remain an enthusiastic and solid supporter of Step Denver. But I have to thank a listener who brought another organization to my attention that I was not aware of, the Other Side Academy. Is a nonprofit social enterprise, and it is designed to help repeat criminals, chronic substance abusers, many of them homelessness, change their lives in a fundamental way. And joining me now is the managing director of the Other Side Academy, Lola Strong. Lola, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mandy. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, first of all, one big difference, and Lola and I talked off the air, and I said, you guys are, you were associated with Step Denver. You know about that. She said, yes, it sounds like you guys share a philosophy with our friends at Step Denver.
We do. We like to help people that are broken and homeless and suffer from addiction, that have hit rock bottom and are ready to do something different.
Is the program, let's talk about how it got started, first of all, because I read, first of all, I went to the website, which is linked here on the blog, and the Other Side Academy started in, where did it start actually, in Utah?
In Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah. So how did Other Side get started in the first place?
So the Other Side Academy was started by our founder is Joseph Grenny. He is a New York Times bestselling author. And as he was writing a book called Crucial Conversations, he began to investigate social change. And he came across an organization called Delancey Street. Delancey Street has been around for about 60 years. And he learned about that model. And fast forward, he decided that he wanted to replicate the model in Salt Lake City. And in 2014, we launched the Other Side Academy in Salt Lake City. In 2016, Mayor Hancock, Governor Hickenlooper, and some civic leaders came to Salt Lake City to tour our organization and fell in love with the model. They fell in love with the model for many reasons, but the primary reason they fell in love with the model was because it was really helping recidivism. People were succeeding, people were not going back to jail and prison. But another one of the reasons they fell in love with the model was because it was self-funded. We don't accept government funding. We through social enterprise, we sustain ourselves. So they loved the model so much so that they decided that they needed a model just like the Other Side Academy in Denver.
So what is social enterprise? Define that for people who may go, I have no idea what those words were you just said. How does social enterprise pay the bills?
So social enterprise pays the bills where the Other Side Academy has its own companies that they run, that the students run themselves, that earn revenue that covers the operational expenses. And the revenue that's generated allows people to come to our program without charging them any money.
And the program itself is a two-year residential program, which in and of itself is extraordinary, because I just read a statistic. I was reading a book by Michael Schellenberger called San Francisco, about the issues in San Francisco specifically. And one of the stats that kind of jumped out at me was specifically, oh my gosh, it just escaped me what I was talking about as I was in the middle of this sentence. Some of the stats around what you're talking about recidivism. Let's talk about that for a second, because your success rates at the Other Side are staggeringly good. And I don't think people realize the failure rate of some rehab programs that cost a lot of money. And the failure rate is, and I say failure, I shouldn't say failure. That's the wrong word. Relapse is the word that I'm searching for.
Yeah.
The relapse rate is significant in many drug and alcohol programs. And for programs that work with ex-cons, the recidivism rates can often be very high. When you're talking about just a halfway house where ex-cons are going and they're living, those can often have a very high recidivism rate. What is the recidivism and relapse rates that you guys track?
So right now we track our success rate is, we call it DCE. People don't go back to drugs and alcohol. They don't commit crime and they're employed. So somebody who completes the Other Side Academy, which is a 2.5 year program, 2 years inpatient and 6 months in our graduate program, right now, our DCE rate is at 82%, which is a phenomenal rate.
Well, one of the success stories that you guys have on your website is was very illuminating to me. Because I think a lot of people hear the word rehab and you think, okay, you're going to go in, you're going to get off drugs and alcohol, you're going to deal with some issues, you're going to go back into society. But one of the points that was made by this success story was that some people they can't be rehabbed because they've never been habilitated. They don't know how to live because all of their role models were drug addicts. All of their role models were in a life of crime. And they've never learned how to be a part of a civilized society. Talk to me about that piece, because I'm kind of fascinated by that.
Yeah, Mandy. So we're not that kind of program. We don't just get people clean and sober. We're about whole person change. You know, we completely focus on changing people from the inside out. You know, we teach people how to become better decision makers. You know, we're about, our primary goal is to help people become honest again, how to have integrity, how to have accountability. You know, when people get to us, they are completely broken. Most of the people that come to us have been homeless for many years, you know, have been arrested upwards of over 25 times, at least 25 times, have been in prison countless times. They don't know how to live an honest life. And so that's the starting point. You know, we need to teach people how to live again and how to be honest and how to have accountability. So we're not just the kind of place that sits around in a classroom and teaches people, you know, the, you know, that drugs are bad for them and the chemical implications of drugs being bad for you. We know drugs are bad and we do them anyway. You know, it's about teaching people how to have accountability and how to be honest again. And we do that through work. You know, we teach people how to work and we believe that work is the therapy. And that's how it works for us.
So when you guys bring someone into the program, it's a 2-year program. Why that time frame? And I should be clear, you don't kick people out if they say, I'm not ready to go face the rest of the world. People have stayed longer than 2 years. But what makes 2 years the kind of the sweet spot?
We just have found that 2 years is kind of the sweet spot. But because we don't accept government funding, there are times when people will say, you know what, I'm not ready and I'd like to stay a third year. Because our beds are not based on that government funding, if somebody feels that they want to stay a third year because they need a little more time, we have the ability to say, you're able to stay, you know, a third year or as long as you want to until you're absolutely ready. And believe it or not, there are many times people will stay a third year or a fourth year because they need more time or because they've just fallen in love with the process and they want to help other people. There's so much magic in staying longer to help other people.
And that's another thing that's unique about your program that I thought was interesting. You don't have a staff of therapists and counselors. You have a staff of people who were ex-cons and drug addicts. I mean, you have people counseling people who are going through something that they too went through. How did that evolve into that?
Yeah, there are no doctors and no therapists. Everybody that's employed here comes from the same background as everybody that is new in the program. I was a drug addict for over 20 years. I was a heroin addict for over 20 years. I've been to prison 4 times. And so there's magic behind somebody that's new that comes in here that can relate to me, that knows that I've walked in their shoes and that knows that I can relate to them. Nobody can ever walk up to me and say to me, Lola, you don't know how I feel, because I know exactly how they feel. I've gone through the same kind of program and the same kind of model. And I can help them, and they believe that I can help them because I've been through everything that they've been through.
This is very similar to the conversations we have with Step Denver. One of the things that you are very different in that obviously you are living proof. They accept women in this program, which is different than Step.
So we do.
Do you have separate facilities? How does that work?
We do. Right now the women are living in a different house, and we do keep them separate. They program together. But we do have strict policy where the women program separately than the men program. Women connect with the women, but we do program together in the evenings.
So, I mean, because you can't go through the rest of your life without ever encountering the other sex. You
know? Absolutely. I mean,
you have to learn how to manage those relationships.
Absolutely. And I don't know what I would have done if there wasn't a program that accommodated giving women the resource to get their lives together. If there wasn't a place where I was able to go when I needed help, I don't know what I would have done. So I think it's wonderful that the Other Side Academy offers, you know, help and assistance to women. And I'm glad that we do. And it works. We make it work.
Do you keep in touch with people after they leave the program? I mean, is that how, I'd love to know how long some of these people, like, they went through the program years ago and they're still successful and happy and having a great life. Do you get those stories?
We do. We have a very robust alumni program. We encourage our graduates to continue coming back and being part of our alumni program. We're fairly new here, but Salt Lake City has a very, very robust alumni program. They come back for holidays. They stay very connected. We track our graduates to make sure that we keep our statistics so that we can make sure that we know, engage, and see how well everybody's doing.
Now, how long have you guys been in Denver?
Right now, we've been in Denver since May 1st of 2019. So we're coming up on about 2.5 years now.
And how many residents do you have here?
Currently, we have 35 residents. 9 graduates, 7 of which decided to stay a third year. 2 of them are living in our graduate program now.
So how many are you maxed out at 35? And how do people get into this program if they are hearing about it for the first time?
So right now we do have bed availability. We're in a temporary location right now at 2324 Federal Boulevard in Denver. It's located on the corner of Federal and 23rd. It's very easy to get into the Other Side Academy. You can call us at 303-335-9488. If you're incarcerated, you can write us a letter at the address that I just gave you. I can repeat that address. It's 2324 Federal Boulevard, Denver, 80211. If you write us a letter, we'll respond to your letter and we'll come to the jail and we'll interview you. If you're not incarcerated, you can give us a call or walk in off the street and ask for an interview.
Let me ask this quickly. This program's been around 60 years in California. It's been around, a similar program has been around for decades in Denver. Why do you think there aren't more programs like this? Why do you think that we aren't looking at the success rates that you are having at the Other Side Academy? I mean, in my mind, we should all be saying, yes, let's do that, what that looks like.
We're trying, Mandy. We're trying. I'm so glad that you invited us on the show so that we can talk a little bit about the success rates. And, you know, more people need to know about, you know, this type of model and that the fact that this model works. You know, it's long, it's hard, but it works. It's successful. It's changing lives. It's really changing lives. We spend so much money incarcerating people. Instead of incarcerating them, they need to be sent to a program like this so it can change people's lives, because a model like this really works.
You know, I think it's really interesting, Lola, because I mean, I know in my past, there are people that I have written off as being, for lack of a better word, unsalvageable, you know, that they were so far gone that there was nothing left for them but going to prison for probably the rest of their lives. Programs like this and stories like yours, honestly, kind of make you go, wait a minute, you know, that maybe that doesn't have to be that way. And maybe, to your point, if we did invest more in helping learn how to do those things that make you a productive member of society, then we could avoid some of the long-term unsalvageable people and just focus on the people that are really bad. You know, that's, yeah, Dave, your mic's not on, but you got a question? I wanted to warn that. And I want to ask you one more question, and then I'll let Dave ask a question. What made you get clean, Lola? You said you were a heroin addict. You were in and out of prison 4 times. What was the thing that made you say enough?
You know, Mandy, I always wanted to do something different. I always had these moments of clarity where I would just realize that, you know, I was just tired of the way that I was living my life. I just never found the right place and the right environment where I was surrounded by the right kind of people that did it for me. I always went to a 30-day program, and while I was there, it worked, but it was never long enough mm-hmm. where I was able to sustain it when I got out. And then I was sitting in jail again, looking at going to prison for the 5th time. And I heard about a place that was really long and really hard. And I knew that from time to time, judges would allow you to go to this place in lieu of a prison sentence. So I wrote a letter to this place, which was the model that we replicated the Other Side Academy after. It was called Delancey Street. And I was interviewed and I got a chance to go to Delancey Street. And that's exactly what I needed. It was, you know, the approach, and it was the level of accountability, and it was the fact that they were focusing on behaviors, and it was the length of time. It was 2 years long, and it was, you know, peer-based. It was around people that were just like me, that spoke my language And I knew people that were there that I had been incarcerated with, that I used to use with, and they were changing. And I knew them, and I knew that if they could do it, that I could do it. And it was just, it was time and it was the place. And I just was so desperate. It was just the perfect time for me. But I believe it was the model. It was the model that did it for me.
How long ago was that?
That was back in 2008.
So you are a big success story for these programs, I would say, as well.
After 2 years, though, I knew I needed more. So I asked to stay a third year. And then I asked to stay a fourth year because I fell in love with what I was doing there. My new drug became helping other people. I loved helping the new women that came in. And I asked to stay a fourth year and a fifth and a sixth. And then finally, I knew it was time to take everything that I had learned and I was ready to move on with my life. And I graduated and I thought life had never been better until I was approached and asked if I wanted to join the team to help launch the Other Side Academy. And then I really found a purpose in life. And
well, can you stick around through a break real quick and we'll come back. Dave has some questions for you and I have some more questions. And I want to let people know how they can donate to this organization here in Denver. Because these are the programs people of my political ilk, this is a hand up. This is the kind of program that is all about helping people be and live their best lives. And that is what I want to support. So we're going to continue with Lola Strong. She's the managing director for the Other Side Academy. But Susan Witkin is going to tell us what's coming up in the news.
Comedian Dave Chappelle is using his haters to make money for his former high school, and the Broncos head coach talking about breaking the losing streak against the Chiefs. I'll tell you more at 1:30 right here on KOA, Colorado's News Talk and Sports Station.
All right, we are back with Lola Strong. Lola is the managing director of the Other Side Academy. They are a 501c3 nonprofit social enterprise modeled after the Delancey Street Foundation in San Francisco, specifically for repeat criminals, chronic substance abusers, many of whom experience homelessness. It changes lives free of charge in a 2-year residential, non-clinical, work-oriented environment. And Lola is not only the managing director, she is also a graduate of the Delancey Street Foundation. We were talking off the air, social enterprise is something that many people may not be familiar with, but it is actually where the residents of the facility run a business or have some kind of money-making means for the program. And I had never heard the phrase social enterprise until fairly recently, but in the 80s, my mom worked for an organization that provided residential housing for adults with developmental disabilities. And they refinished furniture, and they made Christmas cards, and they did lawn work. And that's how they kind of paid their way through. So these are adults, and they have developmental disabilities. But even as a child, I could recognize the value for those adults in being able to say they had to go to work. And some of them had really the mental capacity of maybe a 7-year-old, right? And yet even then, they were very proud. Maybe their job was simply folding the cards in half. Maybe that was their only job and they did it all day, every day. But that job provided them with a sense of pride and a sense of adulthood that I think otherwise they would have never gotten. So why is work such an important part of this in your mind?
Because, you know, I believe that when they have the ability to start to work, they believe that they are a part of something, but they also, it starts to help build their self-esteem and their self-worth, and that they realize that they can start to, you know, be part of society again, and that they can start to achieve and be part of the world at large, because for the longest time, they've been on the margins of society. And now all of a sudden they're a part of a team and they're going out and they're, let's just say, part of the moving company. And I don't know if you've seen some of these reviews, but these reviews will come in and they'll see this 5-star review or these, you know, customers are ranting and raving about this job that they've performed, and they start to feel this sense of purpose and that they've actually, you know, start to, you know, mean something, and it does something to their self-esteem again.
So let's talk about what you've got going on here in Denver. The first is the Denver Moving Company, right? Wait, yes. The other side movers. Yeah, that's what it's called. The other side movers. I want to get this right. You have moving and storage. Why was moving the choice? What is it about that industry that made it seem like a good way to start here?
Because it's simple, and we knew that we would be good at it. We have kind of a really funny joke per se that we say we're really good at it because we used to do it, but we used to do it when you were asleep, and we would come into your home and we would leave through your window. But now we do it, and you're actually calling us, and we're rated 5-star movers. And we're actually, rated number one in Denver. We're rated number one in Salt Lake City. People are actually calling us because we're the best rated moving company out there.
So
we're really good at it.
That actually led to the second part, the second social enterprise. Tell me about Denver Furniture Sales.
So the social enterprises, we were doing moving, and people were saying, I've got this perfectly good table. I've got this perfectly good, refrigerator that I can't use anymore. So we started collecting all of these donations, and we decided that with all of these donations, we can start another social enterprise. So we decided to start Denver Furniture Sales. So that's our second social enterprise.
And I told Lola, I was like, okay, I feel like this is where my listeners are going to shine. If you want to donate furniture, this is the perfect place to donate it, and they will come pick it up. Say it again for the people in the back. They will come pick it up. So
for free.
And you get a tax write-off when you make a donation, correct?
You absolutely do. So if you have any, furniture that's in good condition and you want a really good organization to make your donation to, please give us a call. You can call us at Other Side Movers at 303-335-0525. Let us know that you have a donation. We'll be happy to schedule a pickup, and we'll come on over and we'll pick up the donation for you. If you know anybody who's moving, or if you're moving on your own and you want the most incredible moving company to come and make your move simple and streamlined and the best experience you've ever had, please use the Other Side Movers.
So Dave had a question for you, Lola, about the program. And let me review if people are just joining us. The Other Side is a residential program that allows people who are ex-felons, drug addicts, alcoholics to come to the program. And it's not just about getting sober. It's about helping these people rebuild themselves from the inside out so they can go from being a career criminal, for lack of a better way, to being a productive member of society by fixing them. You use the word they're broken, so I'm going to use the word fixing them, Lola. I think that's a fair assessment.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct, Mandy.
And Dave has a question for you.
Actually, a couple of comments. One, very similar beginning as far as step, used to be Step 13, now Step Denver, how they began with Bob Cote, who was an alcoholic, who was on the streets and was a successful businessman until he became an alcoholic, lost his money, his family, everything, and decided to start Step 13. And the advantage he had being a street person is that he knew all the tricks that they would play on him to try to get things, that they shouldn't be getting, and to not really being with the program. He knew all the tricks. So it's a very similar kind of beginning. The other thing is, you asked a question last hour, Mandy, why don't more organizations use this model? And I think one of the reasons is tax money. They have big salaries in these other programs that mainly they give a turkey to a homeless person on Thanksgiving. When it's cold, they let them come in and seek shelter. But long-term rehabilitation, that's where they really suffer. And these organizations like Step Denver and this organization, they don't have people working for them that make tremendous salaries.
Right.
They're committed to the program and to the people they're helping. And that's why there aren't a lot of them, because that's a tough thing to do.
Let me ask you this, as a person who went through a program like this and now works with people going through a program like this, is there something, can you see it happen when something clicks in someone's mind? Where, to Dave's point, where you have people coming in and they're still trying to work the system a little bit because they've spent their entire life working the system instead of just doing the program. Is there a moment or can you see it happen when people go, wait a minute, I don't have to work the system. I can just do the program.
Well, I think that initially a lot of times people will come in and they think we're the same as some other programs where they can work the program. And then they get here and they're like, wow, she lives here. they live here and they know exactly who I am because we live here. I live here. I live on site. I go to groups with them. When they wake up in the morning, I'm drinking my coffee outside with them. At 10 o'clock at night, I'm saying goodnight to them. Our staff members live here on site. So we are a little bit different than some of these other programs where the counselors show up in the morning and at 5 o'clock, they're punching out and going home. It is a different environment. We're really not a program. We're a family here. You know, Thanksgiving, we were here on site with them. This is entirely different. So yeah, I think they get here initially and they think that maybe it is a get out of jail free card, or it is going to be a little bit different where they can smile in our faces and then behind our backs do kind of what they want to do. And then immediately they realize it's a different environment. And either they're going to stay because they really want to do something different, or they're going to say, I'm not doing this and I'm out of here. This is going to be really hard. So
what percentage of people in Denver are coming as an alternative to incarceration?
I would say 90% of the people.
By the way, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. And some people, we may have to offer that option over and over again. But if that gets people into a place where they can clear-headedly consider the rest of their lives, mark me down, you know?
Mandy, during COVID, that there was a big shift in that. During COVID, we lost our ability to go into the jails and prisons because of COVID. We couldn't go in, we couldn't interview people. Mm-hmm. And there was a big shift. We were doing a lot of outreach on the streets. We were doing a lot of outreach with different detox facilities, with a lot of the homeless, with the homeless shelters. So there was a big, big shift. It was really, really sad to know that people had nowhere to go during COVID. Yeah. A lot of the providers were closing their doors. So there was a big shift in who we were serving at during that entire year. So,
well, I think the organization, and I want to reiterate for people who may be hearing this, I get emails from people on a regular basis asking for direction. Maybe they have a family member, maybe they have a child. A lot of times it's an adult child who is, you know, in their early 20s and parents are desperately trying to find anything out there for their kids. And I think that programs like this are incredibly valuable. And in all honesty, I'm a little disappointed that I did not know about you until recently. And maybe you crossed my sphere of knowledge at some point, but I certainly didn't do a deep dive like I did before I talked to you. And what a fantastic organization. We're so lucky to have you here in Denver. And I hope that other states and other cities really start to look at what works. I mean, I've said this, you guys, I've talked to so many politicians off the air at this point, both Democratic and Republican. I don't care who gets the credit for solving the problem. I just want to help people that need help. And I want them to get the support that they need, even if I can't comprehend how deep that support needs to go. You know, I don't need to understand their trauma to understand that 90 days is not enough. And oh, that was the statistic I was trying to remember earlier. Most residential treatment programs are 90 days. That is kind of the standard. And honestly, at 90 days, you are most likely, that's the point that you are most likely to relapse if you are just sent home and you're back with your same friends and you're back with your, because you've gotten clean, quote clean, but you haven't had time to deal with all of the underlying trauma processes, the things that got you there. So a 2-year program like this just sounds like it has to feel like a miracle for people that come to it willingly and end up, you know, end up like you, Lola. I mean, look at you. If you had not told me, I was a heroin addict and in prison off and on for 20 years, I would have thought you were a suburban mom getting ready to go to a soccer game. You know, I mean, It's amazing. And congratulations to you and everyone who's gone through this program. And I'm just grateful that you are here providing this service, and they have beds available. So if you're in this listening audience, you need help. Someone in your family needs help. Now's the time to give the other side a call. I put a link to their website on the blog. The furniture store is not linked on here. I'm going to go back. I found the Facebook page, and we're going to fix that. I gave Lola some Facebook advice. I was like, you got to do this, and this. Super easy, but, you know, we got to do that. But donations, purchasing, all of that stuff, you can do it and support this wonderful organization. And I'm assuming that you have also a donation button that people can just donate money. I'm assuming.
We do.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Lola Strong, thank you so much, first of all, for sharing your story. Thank you for what you're doing for people here in the Denver Metro with the Other Side Academy. And I'm sure that we will be talking again in the future, because these are the kind of programs that I want people to support with their finances, their donations of used furniture. And if you have moving services that you need, consider using the Other Side Movers to help people change their lives, dramatically change their lives. I mean, it's just, it's astounding. It's astounding. It must be very rewarding to be where you are now.
It's very rewarding. I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be than to be at the Other Side Academy, helping restore hope in other people's lives and helping them find, you know, their worth again. It is the best place in the world.
Well, go ahead.
I'm so grateful.
Again, you can find all the information about how to find them on the blog today. Lola Strong, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you so much, Mandy. Thank you so much, David. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate your time and allowing us to be on the show today. Happy holidays to all of you.
Back at you. Thank you, Lola Strong and the Other Side Academy. Obviously, we will be having them on again in the future. I love this stuff, Dave. I love it.
And I had never heard of it either.
I don't know how we missed this. Maybe we're so focused on Step 13 or Step Denver that we missed this one.
And for all the people that, you know, have written for years to Step Denver and Step 13, what about women? You know,
yeah.
Here's an answer to your question. Finally,
there you go. There you go. So very, very happy to bring them to your sphere of knowledge. When we get back, if you're looking for a family gift that maybe your kids are older, you don't have all the little tiny needs that you had, I have a suggestion. I had the most spectacular experience at the Black Tree Resort in outside Lake George, glamping. And I asked Noel Sueras to come on the show. He's the owner of it. I love this place, you guys. So we're going to talk to Nabil next. But first, Susan Witkin is going to tell us what is coming up in her news. What you got for me, Susan?
Well, we've got another pharmaceutical company that says, hey, we've got another booster coming your way. Yep. And then this time it's for the new variant. All the details coming your way at 2 o'clock on KOA, Colorado's News Talk and Sports Station.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA, 850 AM and 94.1 FM.
Okay, guys, we've been talking about supply chain issues, Christmas gifts, and what are you going to get the people in your life? And I got to tell you, in our family, we love adventures. And Chuck and I just recently had a super cool stay at a place that I could not recommend highly enough as maybe a family Christmas gift. Maybe you go ahead and give this as a gift so you can do it next year with your family. And joining me now is the genius behind Black Tree Resort. Nabil Sueras is my guest today. Nabil, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you for having me, Mandy. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I got to tell people, Black Tree Resort is a glamping place right outside Lake George. And if you don't know what glamping is, it's experiencing the great outdoors in a tent with pretty much all the comforts of home. I mean, is that accurate, Nabil? Is that how you set up Black Tree?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. You know, everybody says they love to go camping and they love to have s'mores, but when was the last time you actually did it? You know, it's not that easy to do. And if you did it, you probably weren't very comfortable when you were doing it. So we tried to eliminate all of those barriers to people getting outside with their family and spending time with their loved ones. And like you said, just give them all the comforts of home. and all the benefits of camping and being in the great outdoors.
You came to this kind of sidewind. You didn't go straight from I'm going to college and opening a glamping place. I mean, you're from this area. No, wait, where are you from? You're not from Lake George, but you're from someplace close. Where are you from?
I was born in Victor near Cripple Creek. Mm-hmm. Born and raised Colorado native, and love the outdoors, love camping, and everything that goes with it. But now that I got a wife and kids, I realize it's not that easy. And because it's not that easy, we weren't doing it that often. And when we were doing it, I had to do all the work. I just figured I can't be the only person in this situation, and there's got to be a better way. And we really had a hard time finding that better way, to be honest. There's a lot of other glamping, quote unquote, outfits, out there, but none of them really checked off all the boxes that we were looking for. So I just said, there's an opportunity here. It was a bit of a sideways. This is my second act. This is, my second career, and we're loving it.
I was going to ask, you guys started up last year during the year of the pandemic was your first year. Way to go, Nabil. Good planning. I realize that we can't forecast a pandemic, but nonetheless, that had to present some challenges. Or did it end up being a benefit as people were looking for ways to get out of their houses and find some place to go where they could comfortably space out? That's one thing I want to talk about really quickly. Black Tree Resort is the resort that Nabil owns. And the tents, there are tents that are kind of really far apart. So you have privacy, even though you're still in kind of a common, space. I was actually surprised by that because a couple of the glamping places we've looked at, they kind of put the tents on top of each other almost,
Yeah.
And your location has so many options. Was that by design to kind of make sure that everybody had a little privacy?
Absolutely. I mean, every time I've gone to a campground, whether it's glamping or just your typical, campground, you don't feel like you're camping. You can hear the guy next door to you snoring and every conversation that's going on, and you don't really feel like you're out in the wild. So we took 80 acres. Right now we only have 11 tents spread across 80 acres. So like you were saying, it's very private and secluded. You might be able to see the next tent barely, but you're not going to hear them or, they're not going to be in your way at all. You're really kind of out there on your own. And, but like you said, with all the comforts of home, we deliver all your meals to you. You can customize what you want as far as your menu goes. And, our reviews kind of speak for themselves. People are just loving it.
I got to tell you, I was shocked at how good the food was. Not that I didn't think the food would be good. The food was amazing. And they bring it out to your cabin. And let's talk about the cabins for a second, because I think this is important. It's a tent, but it's a tent on a wooden platform. So you still have the sensations that you have in sleeping in a tent. You have wind. You have the kind of flapping of the canvas. I love that stuff. I mean, I find that stuff to be a really important part of camping. That's where you feel like you're in the great outdoors. But each tent is outfitted with two queen beds that are very comfortable. You have like a little nightstand, and then you have a little couch, and then you have a potbelly stove. And in our case, because we came so late and it was really cold that last morning that we were there, we had an extra propane heater. But those are only, I guess, at the very beginning and the very end of the season, I'm guessing.
Yeah, just as needed. Usually, in July and August, people don't even use the stove. It's warm out. But early and late season, we'll make sure you're cozy, no doubt.
And you have a little fire ring that's easy to turn on and off, and they bring you stuff to make s'mores at night. I mean, it is just, it's everything you love about camping with none of the discomfort and hassle of camping. Because I got to tell you, Nabil, I'm 52. The thought of sleeping on the ground in any capacity has long lost its appeal, okay? My dream of sleeping under the stars is long done and over.
Right.
Now I want comfy. I want cozy. I want a comfortable bed. And you guys have absolutely nailed it. So back to the food. So they bring your food to your cabin. There's a great picnic table outside. If the weather's nice, you sit out there. But the food is outstanding. You really don't have to worry about anything. I mean, nothing. You just have to show up with your clothes, and that's pretty much it.
That's absolutely the truth. And people ask me all the time, what do I need to bring? Do I need to have this? Do I need to? Nope, just bring your layers. You know, we're in Colorado and we all know how the weather goes here. And that's all I tell people is bring your layers. We got everything else covered from snacks to dessert to beverages. We serve beer, wine, and cocktails as well.
Yes, we forgot cocktails because that's the other part of camping. Like cocktails, come on. That was amazing. Right? And your location is spectacular because you're centrally located near a lot of stuff. Like we drove down to Buena Vista and went to the hot springs one day, and that was maybe an hour 10, you know? So for as far as a central location in Colorado, you are so close to so many different things that it really makes it a great home base of operations. Now, let me ask you a question. During the summer, because when we were there, we were at the very end of your season. When is your season, first of all?
We open May 1st to the end of October, October 31st.
Okay. So yeah, we were right there at the end of the season. But during the summer, you guys have a big communal fire pit. I understand that was not really because we were almost the last people there. But that's the part of camping that I loved when I was a kid. Not going with my family, but going down to the communal fire pit at night and meeting other people that were camping and hanging out. And maybe there was singing at some point if somebody had a guitar or whatever. Do you guys do that kind of stuff as well?
We do. I mean, we want everybody to be kind of private and secluded and get away from the world. But at the same time, you know, it's fun to be able to connect with people and meet new folks when you're out on vacation. So we have a front deck where people gather and, you know, check in. We have Wi-Fi available. I know we try to get people to disconnect, but we understand that we still all need to be connected. So a lot of people congregate on the deck. But then we also have this huge 8-foot wide fire pit that we'll set up when it's, you know, a little busier and we have a few people, mm-hmm. and we'll bring s'mores and hot chocolate and everything and invite people to kind of come and gather together. And it's really fun to see guests connect on their own accord and really just kind of, you know, figuratively light a match and watch it go. And people just have a great time, you know, hearing different stories. And we get people from all over the country. And before COVID, you know, we did open in 2019, about partway through the season. Okay. We were getting a lot of international travelers. And then last year was our first full season with COVID. And like you alluded to, I mean, it was kind of a nightmare at first, but then kind of a blessing at the end. We were, without knowing it, we were kind of tailor-made for this whole COVID world. People still want to get out and enjoy themselves and enjoy their family and be with loved ones. It just wasn't really easy to do during COVID. We were all locked in our houses, couldn't get out anywhere. So we really provided a place where people could get out and connect with loved ones, but still kind of keep their distance and, you know, not be in huge crowds or be waiting in long lines or, you know, anything like that. So it kind of worked out for us.
Well, you guys are killing it in terms of the people that are reviewing you online are absolutely enamored of Black Tree Resort. I mean, everybody who has been there on TripAdvisor absolutely loves it. I don't think I've seen a review for you online that was less than 5 stars, if that was the max, or 4 stars, if that was the max. And I have to say, it is, this is kind of the theme of the reviews. We are not huge campers at baseline, but wanted the kids to experience camping without us having to do all the work. So there you go. That is exactly right. And what kind of stuff are you hearing from city kids? Because this to me seems like what city people do for camping. I say that, you know, it sounds a little derogatory, but my city friends, I mean, they have no clue. They don't understand camping at all.
Yeah. Well, we get two types of folks. We get people who have never been camping and want to experience, like, what's the hubbub all about? You know, I've heard about these s'more things, but I've never done it. And we are totally set up for them. We'll keep you warm, cozy, safe, secure, and, you know, you won't have to worry about a thing. You have a radio right by your bed that you could call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, you usually don't need to, but just knowing that you can puts people at ease. But then we also get a lot of people that used to go camping and just don't want to deal with the work and fuss. And, you know, and then you get home and you have to unpack all the car and everything. So we get people that have never been camping and want to experience it, and people that haven't been camping in a long time and are really grateful to be able to have that experience without all of the stress and backache.
Well, and you know, this is the kind of place that You can also, and this is something I asked Nabil about, like this, if I were hosting some kind of retreat, if I were hosting a wedding, I would absolutely look at this as something different and an experience that is going to satisfy people who love being outside, but also satisfy those people who are slightly horrified by the thought of being outside. And, right. And you know, that's let's talk about pricing for a moment, because I mentioned this when I talked about you when we got back. This is not an inexpensive experience, but I have to tell you, I think that you guys do a fantastic job living up to the price point. And that's really, you know, a compliment, because I got to tell you, I've stayed places where I thought this does not live up to the price point. What does it run to rent a cabin? And is it by the cabin or by the people, or how does that work?
Well, a little bit of both. There's a rate for the tent itself and then a per person rate. So if you just have a couple, it'll be a little bit cheaper than if you had a family of four, let's say. And it also depends on, you know, if you're going on the during the week or weekends or holidays or, you know, early season, late season, there's a bit of a dynamic pricing, but roughly it would be about, say, $700 per night for the whole tent. So if you had a family of four, and that's all your meals and everything included, non-alcoholic beverages are included in that. You get your own golf cart to get around the property, you get your own private bathroom. And you said earlier, there's just a couple of things that we really didn't like about a lot of the campgrounds out there. And the bathrooms was a huge one, you know, going into this kind of stinky locker room feeling and telling my boys not to touch anything as we just got clean. We took that completely away. You have your own private bathroom, just like you would at home.
You do. We should be clear. It isn't a bathhouse situation. So you have to, like, we hopped on our golf cart, went to the bathhouse. I was dreading that, Nabil. It turned out to be absolutely not a problem at all. Like that was the one thing that I went, oh, I don't know about this, but it was such a no big deal thing that I was shocked. I was just like, that did not bother me at all, because the bathrooms, separate bathrooms within a larger bathhouse, are super nice and they're very comfortable and they're warm. And so that was a non-issue for me. I thought it was going to annoy me, but it did not at all. So
with your own
well
golf cart, with your own golf cart, it can't take more than 60 seconds to get, if that, to get to your own private bathroom. So we tried to cover for that convenience and that privacy and that clean feel, you know?
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, I did love having a golf cart. That was very, very cool. Does every tent get a golf cart?
Every tent gets a golf cart, and kids to everyone loves it. And we see people joyriding, you know, it's just, I get a kick out of it, right? They drive their car 2 hours to get here and they can't wait to joyride around in the golf cart. It's a blast.
And we did that too.
And the kids eat it up. And like I said, we got 80 acres and it's all really spread out. So we invite you to kind of explore around. We have a little scenic lookout place where you can go up and get an unbelievable view of Pikes Peak and the surrounding area. And we're just surrounded by national forest and hiking trails. And there's just so many opportunities to just go adventure and without too much, you know, stress or strain or, you know, it's just a nice walk through the woods. It's not technical climbing and risk of somebody, you know, getting injured or anything. It's and part of, I think, the secret to why we're getting the reviews that we're getting, even though it is a high price point, I'm not gonna, you know, shy away from that, but we over deliver. We, you know, whether it's the food, the bathrooms, the privacy, the land itself, you know, as much as you can hype us up, when people show up, they always say it's better than I imagined. And that's my goal.
And I have shopped multiple glamping within a driving range of us. Well, you know, we're talking about in Wyoming, we're talking about, you know, other places. Your price point is either comparable or lower to every other place that I looked at. So this is just what it costs. But like I said, you guys deliver on that price point and provide an experience for families that if you're looking for something that's not stuff, that you want to do a family trip, please, please, please look into Black Tree Resort. What is the website, Nabil, if people would like to look you up at Black Tree?
Well, it's blacktreeresort.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you mentioned, the keyword experiences. Mm-hmm. I don't see us as selling camping or selling s'mores or selling great food or selling private bathrooms. We're selling an experience. We're providing people with an opportunity to really reconnect with their loved ones. And I mean, you would be surprised how many moms have hugged me in tears saying, this is the first time I've had a conversation with my kids and the first time they put down their phones. And, you know, that's really what gives me a kick. And so to that end, we've added something. If you go onto our website and you go to the Book Now page, you can make a reservation, you can buy a gift certificate for somebody else, but I don't like getting gift certificates for other people. So we made these little packages. They're called Experience the Love. And you can buy this package for your own family or for friends and relatives, whoever, and they'll actually get, you can select some of our gifts. So they'll get something to unwrap this holiday season. And then they get a voucher to stay with us next summer or whenever they want, the summer after.
I love that. Go ahead.
Well, that's just it. So we made these little packages. They come with gifts. It's a 2, 3, or 4 night stay. And you're getting a great deal as far as value goes. But you're able to give something tangible without having to worry about shopping lines and supply chain and all this mess that we're dealing with and hearing about. Still nice to have a little something to open up, you know? So give the experience and a little something extra. And I really just see Black Tree as such a unique experience for families to reconnect. And a lot of the things that are pulling us all apart, even though we're stuck in the same house for the last 2 years, there's still all this technology that pulls us apart.
Right.
And just kind of just unplug for 2, 3 days or 4 and reconnect with your family. It's amazing.
Nabil Sawaris is our guest. He is the owner of Black Tree Resort. I highly recommend it. Nabil, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Mandy, my pleasure.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Let's check in with Susan Witkin, find out what's coming up in her news, traffic, and weather. What do you got?
You are going to hear one of the Broncos' best players talk about being back on the field and beating the Chargers at 2:30 right here on KOA, Colorado's news, talk, and sports station.
We are back. A lot of you are commenting on the price, right, of the glamping experience. It's not cheap. It really isn't. It may be a once-in-a-lifetime type situation for a lot of people. And I love those of you that are saying hey, I spent that much on a camper. This is not for people who camp on a regular basis. That's the other part of it. Like, Dave, your mic's off. You got to go back to Switchblade. I went back to Switchblade and didn't tell you. It's one of those things where if you're a regular camper, this is not something you're going to do all the time. You just aren't. But if you're city people or you're like me, I'll be perfectly frank. I camped for years. I mean, I've camped under the stars with no tent. I've camped in an RV, which I'd love to have again, but I just don't have right now. I love sleeping in a tent, but I don't ever want to set up a tent again, ever. Now try that, Dave.
You should be able to hear me.
I can. I can hear you now. There we go. I can hear you now.
Yeah,
just
this
fine.
Is an experience that was meant for me.
Exactly.
A kid who really is kind of afraid of that kind of experience.
Yeah.
Although wanting to have it. And this is so perfect.
I have to tell you, we bought this, and I want to be clear, I bought this at a charity auction. Right. So we Chuck and I are the masters of the silent auction. I mean, we are so good. It's not even funny. So we won this at a charity auction. And when I looked at it, I was like, wow, this is really cool. But then I saw online, I looked at the price and immediately I go, oh, my gosh, this is so expensive. This is not how I usually roll. I don't stay in places that cost this much in one night. I just don't. I don't do it. So we went. And I am cheap. I'm cheap in my heart. I'm cheap. And so I kind of went into it with a skeptical eye of how do they justify this price point? That's how I look at everything. When I
how
go
many
to a
nights
nice,
did you go for?
We stayed for 2 nights. So we were there for 3 days, 2 nights. And I got to tell you, I am very critical when I go to a restaurant. I've walked out of restaurants before and I looked at Chuck and I said, I feel like I just got robbed, especially in Denver. I'm not going to mention any names, but there are some very high priced restaurants in this place that are not worth the money that people are paying, in my opinion. So I just don't go there, right? Other people love them. Not going to get my money. This I will pay for again because I'd love to do it with my adult kids. I could get my adult kids in other tents and it would be a great place to spend time with your family. It's beautiful. The golf carts are awesome, by the way. I loved having
I feel
a golf
like
cart.
If I go to this, I'm like Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. You know, release the hounds, you know.
It's fantastic.
Just out of my, but it seems like something that's out of my class. It's out of my range. What if I went for 3 days, for example, I could go on a cruise for that.
Yeah, and that's kind of where you have to choose your options. When we were there,
it's a different, unique experience.
Exactly. And when we were there, there was a family from Taiwan there. So here you have probably 15 people in this group from Taiwan. They had three or four tents. I didn't really get their whole situation. But here they've traveled from Taiwan to come to Colorado and stay in this tent for a week. This was how they chose to spend their time and come and enjoy our beautiful state. And you have to think about it. And this is why when I talk to people like David, who never go anywhere in this state, I'm like, God, do you realize that people save up their whole lives to do this stuff that's in our backyard? So I just thought it was a really cool experience. If you want to do a family experience instead of gifts, this is amazing. Amazing.
I think that's something that everyone does no matter where they live. I know people in New York never go to the Empire State Building.
I know people in New York that never leave Brooklyn.
Never go to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
They never take, and I'm sure in Washington, a lot of people never take advantage of the things they have to offer. It's just a universal thing. You go on vacation somewhere else and do those things.
Yeah. I want to recommend that you go back and read the entire blog today. It's massive. It's a two-hander. And there's some really, really interesting stories and really interesting columns on there today that I think are really important. But there are two stories that I want to comment on where stuff happened while we were on break, right? One of them was the jury reached its verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery case. And praise Jesus, all three of those men were convicted of murder because they murdered that kid. And I am beyond happy that they were convicted on these charges because I'm floored that they ever thought anything different was going to happen because they chased him down and they shot and killed him. That's it. And I hope they go to jail for the rest of their lives. So that's the Ahmaud Arbery case. That one is resolved and resolved in the best possible way. I bring that up because a lot of people are still really mad about Brandon Rittenhouse, but we have two examples of the justice system. Excuse me, Kyle Rittenhouse, Brandon. I don't know why I said that. I was just thinking about Joe Biden. Anyway, Kyle Rittenhouse, thank you very much, Antonius. These are two examples of the justice system working in the right way. Kyle Rittenhouse was able to prove that he acted in self-defense. Thank God there was video to back him up. You know, really, thank God that the video existed that verified his version of events. In the Ahmaud Arbery case, these idiots released this video thinking it was going to show that they were somehow innocent. And in reality, they sealed their own fate. But the justice system worked in both cases. It doesn't always work 100% of the time, but I got to tell you guys, it works better than pretty much any other justice system around the world. As shocking and scary as that is for some, that's the truth.
And it's shocking because it works that well in spite of the media.
Correct. Correct. And the second thing I wanted to comment on was the gentleman, and I use that term in a sarcastic tone, who decided to drive his truck through a Christmas parade. You know, these stories are as bad when they are perpetrated by some guy walking into a King Soopers in Boulder and firing a gun. And they are as bad as this guy who drove into a parade purposely to kill people. But ultimately, you guys, until they come out and tell me that they know for sure a motive on either of those crimes, I have to sit back and let the justice system do its thing. And this guy's going to jail for the rest of his life. Because there's no doubt he did it. The guy in Boulder, he's going to jail for the rest of his life if they can prove he's sane. So if you're waiting for some big commentary, and Tyler has been at me on Twitter, and I mean, you guys, I don't spend a lot of time on those stories because ultimately I think that they end up being political tools. And instead of that, we should look at it as a criminal justice issue. It is now in the criminal justice system, and it's going to work its way through, and maybe we'll talk about the verdict and the sentencing when it happens, but... You know, I first of all, I'm tired of talking about these things. I'm sick of it.
And you know, Mandy, a lot of people don't understand the fact that not all important stories are talk topics.
Yeah.
Many times they're just great news stories, but there's really nothing to discuss other than the facts as they are.
Exactly.
And I think these fall under that category.
Yeah. I'm also loath to weigh in on criminal stories before mm-hmm. all of the facts have been laid out. That's why I follow these trials. That's why I followed the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. It's why I was following the Ahmaud Arbery trial. It's why I follow the trials, because you have to let it work itself out, because otherwise you end up looking like an idiot.
And, you know, the speculation in the media on these, on the pretrials,
yep,
makes it more difficult for the justice system to get 12 jurors who haven't heard anything about the case.
Well,
so the media really does a lousy job.
But for me, it's, let me just use this as a perfect example. Kyle Rittenhouse, when he's arrested, do you remember Joe Biden, the president of the United States, called this 17-year-old kid a white supremacist? Mm-hmm. A white supremacist because he shot and killed two other white people. And yet that to me is so incredibly irresponsible, whether you're a talk show host or you are Joe Biden, because you don't have all the facts. You end up looking like a moron, a bigger moron than you already are. And I don't want to be that. So I'll let these things work themselves out, and we'll talk about the verdict just like we talked about Ahmaud Arbery's verdict.
Well, this
isn't a crime and punishment show.
There's a difference between you and the president of the United States. He has a greater responsibility to not do these kinds of things.
Are you saying that my audience is not as important as Joe Biden's audience? Is that what you're saying right now, Dave?
I'm saying it's Joe
true.
Biden's
is
audience
bigger. Yeah, it's
is bigger. That's yeah, all.
He's not wrong. I was just pretending to be outraged there. It was an accurate statement by Dave. So when I don't talk about a story like that, when I don't talk about a crime story, it's not because I'm not mm-hmm. paying attention. It's because I have nothing to say. That's the truth. Now, do you want me to try and spin it in some political way so my team can get some cheap shots that we can lob over the bow, so the next time one of their guys does something, they can lob something back? That's just not how I roll. I'm not going to roll that way because it's counterproductive. It doesn't do anything. It just doesn't do anything. Did you see, and I don't have this on the blog today, and I'm going to be brief because we got to do of the day. Did you see the Proud Boys walking through Long Island?
Like, no,
what
I didn't.
What can I just say this? If you're a member of the Proud Boys who's walking through Long Island, waving a flag with your face covered, wearing some kind of tactical vest, you look like an idiot. You look like an abject fool. You look like the same dumbass morons who run around in Antifa with their masks on. You look like those same dumbasses. I just want you to know that. That's all I have to say about that. Let me let Brandon in because, you know, we haven't seen Brandon. He's been off doing some fun stuff. Even though he totally let us down on the capybara front, we'll still let him come and do of the day. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving, Brandon? While Dave opens his mic and gets back on Zoom.
I did. It was great. I mean, the Cowboys ruined it for me, but that's pretty typical of most Thanksgivings in recent decades. But I did go to the zoo, mm-hmm. and I totally spaced on the capybara thing, even though I thought about it on my way there and after the fact. Mm-hmm. So I'm letting you down now more than
you let yourself down, Brandon.
Yeah.
Going to the
Denver
Zoo and not experience the capybara.
Yep.
I mean, you may as well not go.
But now,
I'm not saying I didn't see it. I may have seen
it.
I'm talking to anybody about it.
For the most exciting segment on the radio of its kind in the world of the day. All right, what is our word of the day, please, Dave?
Word of the day today is an adjective.
And
It is percipient. P-E-R-C-I-P-I-E-N-T. Percipient.
I think that you are extremely perceptive when you are percipient.
You've got it 100%.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say, that you're able to pick things up.
Having a good understanding of things.
I'm excited about finding out the answer to today's trivia question.
Okay.
Today's trivia question is, the sack butt was an early form of what familiar instrument? The sack butt.
It's like a trumpet, I think.
You think it's a trumpet?
It's a wind instrument.
I'm going to go, what are those? Wee, wee, wee. What are those called? Wee.
Bagpipes?
Bagpipes.
It's definitely a blowing kind of trumpet
I'm going bagpipes.
I'll say tuba.
Oh, trombone. The sack butt was invented in the 15th century and had a narrower bell and thicker walls than the trombone we know today.
They're cool sounding, too.
Yeah.
I've heard them.
Now I'm going to go to YouTube and look up sack butt sounds. Okay. I might get something bad there if I... Anyway, moving on.
Make sure you spell it correctly and have the right amount of words.
Make sure the spelling's right.
If you go short on that, it's going to take you a whole different place.
Exactly. Okay, Antonius, you in?
He's in. Are you saying what? For Jeopardy?
For Jeopardy, yeah.
Sure, I'll hop on the train. Now.
Okay, what is our Jeopardy category, Dave?
Okay, category for today is checkmate.
Mm-hmm.
The answers all have the word check in them.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. The deadline by which a hotel room must be vacated.
Brandon.
Mandy.
What is checkout time?
Correct. Next one. It's given by a store as a price guarantee.
Antonius.
What is checkout slip?
Oh.
Wrong.
Mandy. What is a rain check?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Guarantee when it runs out of a sale item.
Yeah. I get them all the time, by the way. I'm that person. If you have something on sale, and oh my God, I do it all the time. It's fantastic. Anyway, continue.
The next one is a banner waved at the finish line of a car race.
Brandon.
What is a checkered flag?
You are correct.
That was an easy one.
You didn't get it.
That's what I'm saying. I should have gotten it.
Why didn't you get it if it was so easy?
That was a $100 question, though. You have to admit. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that was.
Actually, it was a $600 question, but never mind. A game using a six-pointed starboard marble.
Brandon.
What is Chinese checkers?
Dang it.
You've got it.
All right,
got
a tie
here.
Uh-oh.
Here it is.
I'll never win one of these things.
You will someday. Just keep trying.
Here we go. Two-word term for what the winner of Survivor gets. Brandon.
Oh. What is prize check?
Wrong.
Ooh, and I'll sit here quietly and take the win. You thanks, Brandon.
I'll
give you
a second. I was going to say checkmate.
What's the rest of the question?
I thought for sure it was checkmate.
Yeah.
Okay, two-word term for what the winner of Survivor gets or a reminder of the way things actually are.
Oh, reality check.
Oh,
that's it.
Yeah.
That feels forced. That feels forced by the Jeopardy folks.
I am taking that victory, and I am taking it to the bank with my big $0 winnings right here. There you go.
It feels like something I would come up with on the initials game, like kind of forcing it to be a clue where it's not really one.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right, well, we will be back tomorrow. We actually already have a good show planned tomorrow. In that, hang on. Yeah, sometimes we actually think ahead. We're going to talk to the great folks from the Children's Diabetes Foundation, and our futurist, Thomas Fry, joins us tomorrow at 1. So it's going to be a great show. Join us for all of that and more.
He already knows how that segment's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right now, if you want to hear TD, Terrell Davis, talk about the TDs, just tune in to the KOA Sports Zoo because they've got him coming up this afternoon. Just keep it right here on KOA.